Well, good evening and welcome. Welcome back. For those of you who are here this morning, welcome to Prairie Village Church of Christ. So glad you're here. I just hope and pray your day's been filled with goodness and warmth and peace and rest and all the blessings of God. And now as we have this opportunity and this privilege to sit at the feet of Jesus, to engage in these acts of worship, to praise Him, to learn from Him, just pray this will help us start our week off on the right foot. And if your day hasn't been filled with those good things we talked about, maybe after we have done the things we do here tonight, that your day will end a lot better than it has begun. That's my prayer for you anyway. I encourage you to open up your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. That's Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy, the fifth book in your Bible in the Old Testament. Chapter 4. Starting in verse 1, we read, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I am teaching you to perform, so that you may live and go in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." I was daydreaming just the other day and just couldn't help but wonder what the world would be like if people really did that. What we just read right there. If people really looked at God's word like that. What if people did that? Now, I'm not talking about the general population in the world. I'm not talking about all people. I'm talking about the people who love God or claim to love God, not the people who don't care about Him. What if the people who claim to be Christians, who claim to love the Lord, really loved and respected Him enough to do that, to obey His commandments, to not add to them, to not take away from them, but just plain and simply to do them? What if those who believed in Christ around the world, what if they took Him that seriously? What if they took His word that seriously and they really tried to stick to it that closely? How much differently do you think the world would look today than from what it does right now? The community of believers, we'll call them, if all the believers behaved that way, you have to think that it would be extremely different, that it would look extremely different than it does today. It would look different. It would sound different. The arguments people would make in defense of their beliefs and their convictions would be different. The excuses they make for the things that they do and the things that they refuse to do, I think would be different as well. I don't think we would recognize the world as it would be compared to what it is now if people would just go by the Bible. If people would just do what the Bible says, not add to, not take away from. It would be a foreign place. It would be a strange, unrecognizable, wonderful place to live. What if all believers just went by the Bible? What would be some specific differences that we would notice in the religious world around us? First of all, I would have you notice that if all believers just went by the Bible, then all believers would just wear one name. All believers would just wear the name of Jesus Christ. Nothing else would be necessary. There'd be no need to have names that distinguish one from another, because we would all recognize that we all belong to Jesus and we just want to wear His name. Now we can look at Acts chapter 11 in verses 25 and 26, and we read there, "And when he found him," that's talking about Saul of Tarsus, "when Barnabas found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." If all people who claim to believe the Bible would just practice what is therein and just accept the beliefs, they would just wear the name of Jesus Christ. They would just go by Christian and nothing else. And look, it all started here, right here in Antioch, all those hundreds of years ago, but it didn't end there. That's where it started, but it continued on. We read, and that should be 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. Years later, the Apostle Peter wrote, "But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify in this name." All people would just wear that name. And we understand from this passage that God is glorified when people just go by Christians. If they suffer because they wear that name, so be it. It's glorifying to God. And we also read in Acts chapter 26, verses 28 and 29. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, making his defense before King Agrippa. "Then Agrippa said to Paul, 'You almost persuade me to become a Christian.' And Paul said, 'I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. Now, what did he mean by such as I am? What does he mean by such as Paul? What was Paul? He was just a Christian. And that's all he wanted to be, and that's all believers would be if they just went by the Bible. You know, I've had people come up to me and ask me, and maybe you've had similar questions asked of you. They ask me, what religion are you? And I say, I'm a Christian. And they'll say, and someone just the other day, just last week, said this to me. He said, yeah, I know that, but what kind of Christian are you? And I have to ask, how many kinds of Christians exist in the world? If every believer just went by the Bible, you know how many kinds there would be? There would just be one kind to speak of. There wouldn't be any hyphenated Christians, a name with a hyphen in the middle of it describing their faith. There wouldn't be any Jehovah's Witnesses to talk about. There wouldn't be any Seventh-day Adventists. There would just be Christians. Now, sure, we could call ourselves disciples of Christ. We could call ourselves followers of Jesus. What have you. But when it all come down to it, the bottom line would be we'd all be wearing just that one name, the name of Jesus, and we'd be glorifying God because of that. And I don't know why we'd want to wear any other name than His. Now, when someone asks me, what kind of Christian are you? I know what they're really asking me. They're asking me, what denomination do you belong to? But if all believers just went by what the Bible said, we would all belong to one church. We'd all belong to the same church. We'd just belong to the church of Jesus Christ, because that's the only one that you read about in the Bible. There wouldn't be any denominations at all. Not a single one. You read the Bible from cover to cover. I challenge anyone hearing this message today. You read it from cover to cover, and you will never read about the Baptist denomination or the Catholic denomination or the Mormon denomination or the Lutheran denomination. They're just not in there. Now look, I don't mean to be mean. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm not trying to run anybody down in their religion and their faith. I'm just saying, and this is just a simple truth of the matter, if everyone who claimed to believe in the Bible just went by the Bible, then they would just belong to Christ Church, because you can't find any of those other churches or denominations in there. If people who believe in Jesus were really serious about the Bible, and if they were not adding to or taking away from it, if they were just going by what's in there for everything they believe and practice, there would be no denominations at all. And we know that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 talks about no divisions. He said, the Apostle Paul, I exhort you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. What is a denomination? That very name, that very word implies division. To denominate is to divide, to break down into different components. And God doesn't want us to do that. We'd be just exactly what Christ prayed for all His followers to be in that great prayer that he prayed to His Father in John chapter 17. If everybody just went by the Bible and they just belonged to the church of Christ, they'd be united. We'd be one in Him if everyone did that. John 17, 20 and 21 says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through their word. He's talking about us there. All who believe in Jesus Christ through the words of the apostles, through the Bible, through the word that was revealed through them by the Holy Spirit, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. How close did Jesus pray for His followers to be? Just as close as He was to the Father and the Father was to Him, just united that closely. And if everyone went by the Bible, we could be united that closely. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome just to belong to one church, Christ's church, and to wear that one name, to wear His name? No names or groups to divide one another, to distinguish one another. None of that divisiveness. No cross purposes at all. Just unity. All people would be united in name and in purpose if they just went by the Bible. But all people would also be united in teaching or in doctrine if they just went by the Bible. If all believers did that, they would just teach the same things. Now, I want you to consider what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. He said, for this reason I have sent Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. And he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. What did Paul do when he traveled from congregation to congregation? What did he teach? He taught the same thing in every church he went to, in every church that he preached to. Now, certainly he addressed particular issues, particular problems that a particular congregation was experiencing at the time, but he never taught conflicting beliefs, conflicting ideas, conflicting practices. He taught one single doctrine, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And according to his words here, when he sent Timothy to places, to congregations, to fill a preaching need, guess what Timothy taught? Guess what he was instructed to teach when he was sent there? Just that exact same doctrine. The doctrine of Jesus Christ, the same teaching. So if we were all who profess to believe in the Bible and follow it, if we really did follow its teachings, we would all teach and practice the same things. One of the things we'd all do is we would all meet together on the first day of the week to take the Lord's Supper. That's what Paul did in the early Christians. That's what they did together. That's what Paul taught. That's what we read about them doing in Acts chapter 20. In verses 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul talked about that we sailed. Well, actually, this is Luke writing this, the we part. But we sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came to Troas within 5 days. And there we stayed 7 days. And on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day. And he prolonged his message until midnight. Now, what was it that they came together to do when they came to break bread? Just eat a regular meal? Well, of course not. They wouldn't have waited a whole week to do that. They were waiting for the first day of the week, a special day of meeting to break this particular bread. We're obviously talking about the Lord's Supper. That's the day that they met together to do it. They waited for that day to do it. They didn't do it on Saturday to expedite it. They did it on the first day of the week. And if we were just going by the Bible, if all believers, that's what we would all do. And we would take that memorial supper every first day of the week. We wouldn't wait to do it every quarter or every year or whatever the case may be. We would understand that this is what they did when they came together on the first day of the week. And we wouldn't take it any other day of the week. We wouldn't take it on a Wednesday or a Saturday or a Friday to make it easy on us. And that would be our regular meeting day anyway, our regular day of weekly assembly. Because we also read in 1 Corinthians 16 and verses 1 and 2 that they met together on the first day of the week, and when they did that, the Christians did, they made a collection. They passed the plate around, so to speak, for the needy saints. So that would be the day that all believers in Christ would assemble together. They wouldn't meet together on the Sabbath day to keep it holy like they did in the Old Testament. Not Saturday, because they would understand, as Colossians chapter 2 and verses 16 and 17 tells us, when he talks about a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath, he said in verse 17, these things are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Don't let anybody judge you on those old things that have passed away that are a mere shadow of what the true substance is in Jesus Christ. We would understand that the first day of the week, Sunday, is our special day of meeting. And when we assembled with the saints on that day, on the first day of the week, you know what we would not find, what we would never see? We would never see or hear a female preacher preaching in the pulpit. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 34 says, the women are to keep silent in the churches, but they are not permitted to speak, but are to subject themselves, just as the law also says. 1 Timothy 2:12, but I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. Now that idea of being quiet and to be silent, it's not the idea of not making a sound, not uttering a word. That's not what it means. You see there in 1 Timothy 2:12, it's within the context of teaching or having authority over a man. And if we all just went by the Bible, that's the way it would be. Let me ask you, does that sound like an outdated concept to you? Does that sound like a sexist thing to you in any way? You know what? You make that call. You decide if that's the way that sounds to you, if that's the way that feels to you. All I'm saying is, if we all went by the Bible, that's what we would be doing. That's what we would be practicing. There would be no female preachers. You might not like that, but if you just went by the Bible, that's what you'd have to do. There'd be no female elders or bishops or pastors, no female deacons. You read the qualifications of these men. 1 Timothy 3:2, Titus 1:6. It talks about all these are husbands of one wife, not wives of one husband. Husbands of one wife. All of these roles are filled by men in leadership in the church. You might not like it, but if you just went by the Bible, that's the way you'd have to do it. And if everybody who loved the Bible would actually practice the Bible, would actually go by the Bible, we would all believe in the same Jesus. Did you know that? It amazes me all the different variety of views there are in the world today among believers about who Jesus actually was, who Jesus is. Some people believe that he was a created being, that he did not exist from eternity. He wasn't God. One group in particular believes that he was a God with a small g. He was some sort of divine being, but he was kind of a lesser divine being. And some actually teach that he was an angel, and others teach that he actually was God, but when he came to this earth, he stopped being God. Stop the madness. Put on the brakes. How do people come to these kind of conclusions? Look, if we all just went by the Bible, this would be so easy for us to get, for us to believe. It's so important that we get this too, but we have to understand the Bible is very clear on this. Just look at these passages with me. John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, later identified as Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. He wasn't a God, he was God. Hebrews 13:8, we know that he is not a God and that he is God and he's always been God and he always will be God because Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He didn't stop being God when he came to this earth. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, for in him all the fullness of deity, of godhood, of godness, if you will, dwells in him in bodily form. When he came to this earth, he was God before that. He stayed God when he was here in the body that he dwelled in on the earth, and he never stopped being God. How much of deity dwelled in him? All the fullness. He was in all ways God, equal with God. Matthew chapter 1. And verse 23 says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. So very simple. If everybody just went by the Bible, we'd have to believe that. If we all went by the Bible, you know what else we'd believe in? We'd have to believe in heaven for the saved and hell for the lost. We just don't like to think about that hell part, do we? We love to talk about heaven and think about heaven, but there are even some people, a lot of believers in the Bible, who really don't believe that that's the destination of all the saved people. There are some groups that say only 144,000 people are going to make it to heaven, and then the rest of the saved are going to be living here or on earth or on a new earth, a new heaven and a new earth and a new earth paradise. Well, if we all just believed in the Bible and what it said clearly, we would understand that we're all going to heaven if we're saved in Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is where? In heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:5, because of the hope laid up for you, where? In heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. 1 Peter 1, 3-5 talks about our wonderful God, how he has given us an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and that will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. The Bible is very clear on this. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. And if we all believed in the Bible, just what it says, we'd believe that. And what about hell? You know, Jesus talked about hell more than anybody else in the pages of the Bible. And yet so many people don't believe in an actual eternal spiritual realm called hell. They believe, a lot of people do, when people die, if they're lost, they just disappear. They're disintegrated. They are annihilated. And they just go nowhere. They just don't exist. Well, let's look at a couple of things that Jesus says about hell. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22, he talks about a fiery hell. Mark 9:43, he talks about the unquenchable fire there. Matthew 13:42, he said there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth in that place. And in Mark chapter 9 and verse 46, he talked about where their worm does not die and their fire is not quenched. I got to tell you, folks, Jesus warns us repeatedly about hell for a reason, because he doesn't want any of us to go there, because it's a real place of torture and torment for those who are not saved. And yet there are so many divergent opinions on this, so many disparate beliefs, and it's just a mass of confusion. But if we all just went by the Bible, There would be no confusion here. We might not like the idea of hell. I don't. You might not like the idea of no women preachers. You know, I can live with that, but I can see why you don't like that. But if we just go by the Bible, this is what we're going to believe. You know, there'd be other differences as well that would be eliminated if we all just went by the Bible. But I guess the real question is when all is said and done, when you have to make your decision on what you are going to believe and what you are going to practice, the real question is, does it even matter? Does it even matter if everyone just goes by the Bible, if everyone believes what the Bible says? Is the Bible just a set of guidelines and general good ideas to follow? And ultimately, it's up to us to make our own choices and decisions, to choose the things that we like and to leave off the things that we don't like. Is it all just a matter of interpretation and you can interpret it any way that you want to? I tell you what, I won't answer that question for you. But what I will do is allow God to answer that question for you. 2 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 11 says, "Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds." This idea of going too far and not abiding in the doctrine, it's the idea of staying within the parameters of God's teaching, of His laws, of His commandments, of His will, of His authority. To go too far is just to not stay there, to add to. And of course, we know we're not to take away from either, because we read that in other places earlier. But look, this has always been God's way, and this always will be God's way. Back to Deuteronomy, where we started earlier today in this lesson. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 32 this time says, "Whatever I command you, you shall be careful to do it. You shall not add to nor take away from it." Whatever, he says, be careful to do just exactly that. Not deviating from it, not adding to, taking away from. Now look, his laws have changed over the years. His covenant has changed. But there's been one constant, and the constant has always been this: you be careful to obey it, whatever the commandment is, whatever covenant you find yourself in. You be careful not to add to it or take away from it. Deuteronomy 5, 32 and 33 says, "So you shall observe to do just as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the left, but you will walk in the way the Lord your God has commanded you." Not suggested you, not hinted at for you to walk. He's commanded us to do certain things a certain ways. And we're not to add to, take away from, go to the left, go to the right. He's very clear on that. You know, this is really a lesson about biblical authority. It's really what it is at its core. I shy away from using terminology like that because it's kind of a hot button word right there, authority. It's kind of an electrifying term. We are, to a great degree in our society, we are a society of rebels. Many of us don't appreciate authority. We don't respect authority. We don't like to be told what to do and how to do it and when to do it by anyone or by anything. We like to be our own boss. We want to be the boss of us. We like to be in charge. We like to call the shots. But if we're going by the Bible and we're doing what it says and avoiding what it forbids, it's all about recognizing that we need to be obeying God's authority. He is the ultimate authority. He is the supreme authority. And He's told us exactly what He wants from us in the Bible. Now, I know that this idea of mine is a huge fantasy. This idea of everybody just doing what the Bible says, I know that. I know it's never going to happen. As long as this world's spinning, we'll never get everybody on the same page spiritually. Much of the New Testament really is just that. It's letters, attempts, pleas, arguments by apostles and inspired writers to do what he says, because even people within the church at that time were deviating from the true ways. So we'll not ever get everybody on the same page. I understand that. Not everybody is going to do that. But you know who can do that? You can. I can. There's no reason why you and I shouldn't walk in that word just as God commanded us and not stray to the left or the right. There's no reason for us to add to or take away from, talking about you and me personally, if we really want to please the Lord and go to heaven when we die. Unless, of course, you don't want to. Unless you really don't want to obey God. I think you want to go to heaven. I think most people want to go to heaven, but a lot of people, I think most people just don't want to obey God to get there. But you can't get there without doing that. So if you really want to go to heaven, you just got to do exactly what he wants us to do in the Bible. Obey him. And look, it's so easy to understand if we'll just believe and obey. We saw these passages. They're not difficult to understand. They're plain and they're clear. The question is that how we want to live our lives and if we want to follow those rules? You can go ahead and pick up your songbooks. Sing number 98 to give you an opportunity to obey the gospel this evening if you haven't done that. Well, what does the Bible say about being saved? How does that happen? I understand there are different strokes for different folks. You ask 10 different people, you're going to get 10 different ideas of what a person has to do to be saved. You don't do anything because works don't matter. You just believe in Jesus. You accept Jesus into your heart. You pray the sinner's prayer. Just a variety of things that people say that you need to do to be saved. But what if everybody just went by the Bible? Then what would you do to be saved if you just went by the source, God's Word? Well, according to Mark 16:16, Jesus said, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved." It's really that simple. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, the men gathered in Jerusalem that day on that day of Pentecost asked Peter, after they were convicted of the blood of Jesus, of being sinners to the extreme, they asked Peter and the other apostles gathered there, "What must we do? What do we have to do to be saved?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized to have your sins forgiven." Look, you have to have your sins forgiven to be saved. It's so easy. You put it together. Jesus said, "Believe and be baptized." Peter said, "Repent and be baptized." So obviously we have to believe and repent and be baptized. The same Bible that says believe to be saved also says repent to be saved. Also says be baptized to be saved. Also says confess Jesus to be saved. Isn't that easy? There's really no reason to miss that if we just want to go by the Word and do what the Bible says. Can we help you do that tonight? Anyone who's yet to put on Jesus Christ in baptism, we stand ready to help you to do that. And if we can help you in any other way spiritually, that's what we're here to do. So you come up here and talk to me about those things. We're going to be standing and singing a song of praise to God, but also of encouragement to you. Do the right thing. You come up here and talk to me while we're standing and singing.